I think that when that first missile fell in, they just said, that's it. We are all in, and we're going to go in until we solve this problem once and for all. I think the Atlantic is saying that it was reporting like within the first 36 hours or something like that, that Trump was saying, hey, I'm willing to talk to them. If they want to talk and do a negotiated settlement, I'm willing to talk. Well, why in God's name would they be willing to do that when they gave you on a golden platter hours before all this, here's some tremendous concessions that gave you nearly everything you're asking for. If he wouldn't take that then, they're certainly not going to go in and offer a bunch of stuff now when you've killed their Ayatollah, you've killed all these other people, all these other leaders have been assassinated, you've killed a lot in this governing council. There's no way they're going to do that because they see the same thing you do. You can't sustain this a long time. I think that they know how much stuff they have underground and how many assets they have throughout the region and throughout their country, that they're spread out over this territory that's four times the size of Iraq. And they know we don't have a ground force to come in there. They know we have very significant limitations and we can hit a bunch of stuff on the surface and blow a bunch of stuff up. But that every day, that's a missile that gets sucked down that we don't have to use anywhere else. And all these missiles they're lobbing back in our direction, they're just sucking down all of our air defense missiles, and they know we don't have enough. You're right. They know the same thing. So I think that they're saying, we're going to keep sucking down these missiles because we're hurting them bad. I mean, I saw that the airport was hit today. Their council, of course, was hit earlier today. So there's a lot of real pain going on. But I think that they have calculated, we can endure more pain than you can. And at the end of the day, the loss to America in the region, I think, will be far, far worse than the losses that are being incurred by the Iranians right now.
Gulf nations are going to be pissed. They're pissed at Iran, obviously, because Iran is striking them. They're also pissed on the US and Israel for starting this war in the first place. There's also the report that came out earlier today about America's considering to pull THAAD and Patriot batteries from South Korea to the region. We talked about the munitions being depleted, and now they're looking at getting some of that from South Korea, from what's meant to deter the China and North Korea in that region, that's meant to be the focus of the US. Does that just reinforce the fact that the US is not prepped for a prolonged war, and Iran knows this? There's also the reports that by Bloomberg that I think is Bahrain and the UAE, they're running out of anti-air defense missiles as well. They're being depleted. Now, those countries have said, no, they're not. But there's also other reports that say that the U.S. is prioritizing Israeli air defense munitions over the Gulf, and that's pissing off at least one Gulf country. Not sure if you saw that response and that report. So if you put all these together, it seems that not only the U.S., but the U.S. and everyone in the region has a problem right now.
They do, in fact. Yeah, I actually saw your show with General Ben Hodges earlier today on that issue of the THAAD's report coming out of South Korea, and I agree with what he said there too. I mean, they may want it, but it will take a long time to get there, more than 2 or 3 weeks, I think, in terms of that. But that does definitely show, it shows a couple things. It shows, that first of all, the dearth of air defense capabilities that we have and the desperate need that we have for more, and I've seen at least two separate videos that show our air defense, one a Patriot, and I guess this other one, the THAAD you mentioned, getting hit and blowing up a battery. So that's a huge loss by itself. And now that we're trying to get them from other places here, but that also shows that
this is it here. That's the satellite image of one of them, one of the THAAD missiles getting hit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. That's all we know about. I mean, I bet that there are others we don't know about too, because believe me, we're not going to be broadcasting this stuff out there, and we're going to be trying to prevent that. And you know, and all these people, like you mentioned, that said, you know, the Bloomberg said, I think UAE, they said they had it back at a week's worth at the current rate, that they, and then they would be exhausted. Obviously, they're going to not say that in public. They're going to say, oh no, we're fine, it's good. That's what Trump's saying too. He said from the Oval Office earlier today, oh, there's no risk of that. We've got inexhaustible supply, especially the medium range. We have no problem at all. There's no way that's true, or we wouldn't be doing what you just described, potentially coming from South Korea, or we could just see it with our own eyes. So they're saying whatever they want, but their actions is what you need to pay attention to.
Someone even said that they've requested some of that munitions from Ukraine to be returned so they could use it in the Middle East. Unconfirmed, not sure who said this, what the source is, but that was mentioned in one of the interviews I did earlier today, which would be insane. And again, this is such bad news for Ukraine, with all of the munitions that's meant to go to them on the war with Russia now going to the Gulf. And Russia, which is meant to have its economy suffer right now and hopefully, you know, put Ukraine in a better position so the Ukraine could maybe advance, well, the Russian economy is humming along, having the time of its life with oil prices spiking. There's another thing I want to ask you about, Colonel. From the guests you've spoken with, what are the various theories? I'll give you one that I've learned and that has just been fascinating to me. But what are the various theories that you've been given by different guests on the strategic reasons the U.S. started this war?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said you were going to give me one.
I'll give you my one. Sure. I'd love to give you my one. It's just such a fascinating one because everyone talks about this. This is a war for Israel. This is the only reason that the U.S. have done it. They've done it for Netanyahu. Netanyahu convinced Trump before New Year's Eve when he went there. Now, for me, the argument, while it might have some truth to it, I just don't think Israel has that much influence over the U.S. The other argument that was made by an economist to me yesterday has been really interesting, is that this is a game of energy. And the strategic benefits to the U.S. are the following. Well, Trump is trying to get Greenland so he can control the straits there, the shipping lines towards China. He's kicked out China from the Panama Canal. He's kicked out Maduro, who was very friendly to China, now has, the vice president?
Rodriguez.
I forgot her name. Delcy Rodriguez, yeah. Yeah, so he has Delcy Rodriguez, who's more willing to work with the U.S. And what's left is the Bab el-Mandeb Straits and the Strait of Hormuz, both controlled by the Houthis in Iran. And this is the last choke point that the U.S. can control to be able to choke off China if it ever gets to it. That was the explanation given to me, which to me is the only explanation that makes sense. I'd love to get your thoughts on it. And is there any other theories where this war makes sense for the U.S. strategically? Why Trump started this war?
Yeah, I have seen that, and whether that was an intention or not is really hard to argue with the fact afterwards that, yeah, we have this, and all those things are definitely in our advantage, and I'm sure a lot of people are willing to facilitate that and to protect it and to expand it. They want to keep all of those things for all those reasons. I don't know. I'm hesitant to say that this, you know, this last coup de grace part to try and get this last one, this major one here, was part of a bigger plan that we would literally go to war for that reason to get. I don't know. I tend to think against that for two reasons. Number one, that implies a really well thought out, coherent, long range plan that's, you know, of course, devoid of any morality, that's just taking whatever we want and killing whoever gets in our way.
They've just gotten a report from Iranian news that they've shut down an F-15. Hasn't been confirmed yet, but Iran is claiming they've just literally shut down an F-15 right now. Everyone's reporting it. How significant is that? Sorry to interrupt you, Colonel, but it just came in now. How significant is that if it's true?
I mean, that was expected from the beginning. I don't think anybody thought that we were going to come out unscathed. I thought we might have more aircraft shot down by this point, and I thought we would also have some ships that were hit. I don't know if that's happened or not. It hadn't been reported anyway. And, you know, these three that were allegedly shot down by Kuwait friendly fire, I'm skeptical that that was the case. Not three of them. I just have a hard time imagining that was the truth. Yeah. I think that maybe those were also of Iran because it was so close to them anyway. But now this one here wouldn't surprise me. And this claim that Israel made after the first day, they said, oh, we have mastery of the skies. All of their air defense has been knocked out. I didn't believe that at the time because I'm like, it's too substantial. I mean, it's all throughout this whole country that they have this stuff spread out there. You're not going to knock that out in 24 hours. There's no way. So I didn't believe that then. And so this would apparently put to that lie to the reality that they've been knocked
different.
Down.
So different to we'll go back to the point you're saying earlier, but this is just such a different war to what we saw in the 12-day war. Remember the 12-day war, Israel alone seemingly had air superiority, and Iran was just striking one target, which is Israel. In this case, Iran is being able to have a multi-front war, and we're having reports of, this is the fourth F-15 that will be shot down, but whoever shot it down, if this is true. And obviously, we're seeing a lot of U.S. bases being shut down. Ben Hodges said one thing in the interview as well. I think it was Ben. He was very surprised how Israel is able to intercept so many missiles, yet U.S. bases are being hit. And his maybe someone else said it. But a concern they had, they're like, the U.S. seems to be prioritizing defenses in Israel over U.S. bases. Maybe it's because they didn't expect that level of intensity of Iranian attacks on these bases. But it's just a fascinating point. But sorry to interrupt you, Colonel. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, let's stick on that point there because I find that puzzling. This claim that Israel is has all this air defense and it's intercepting a lot of stuff. I mean, all you got to do is look at the video evidence of these missiles that are coming in, and hardly any of them are getting intercepted. Look on the ground. I mean, I don't see anybody intercepting a lot of missiles here, whether it's UAE, Qatar, Bahrain, our bases, Israel. I mean, these things are landing all over the place and causing profound amounts of damage. So I challenge that the Iron Dome and all the integrated air defenses is knocking a lot of stuff down. I think it's getting through it like a sieve.
Yeah, what a crazy war. Anyway, and you were speaking you were making the point earlier about the big strategic benefits to the U.S. that don't make much sense.
Yeah, I said that the one is I tend not to think about that one because it would require this really integrated, long-term thought out and resource plan. And yeah. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't see that kind of brain power in the United States right now. I see a lot of reactive stuff. I see a lot of, I'm focused on what's in front of me today, and then I'll think about this, and then I'll change my mind tomorrow. I see a lot of the people that are surrounding him that are just whatever President Trump says is what I'm going to do. I don't see a lot of independent thought. I don't ascribe that much capability. Even if you take the morality out of it, I don't think they could pull that off. I think they are opportunistic, and when they see the opportunities they can take here, they can say, "Hey, we can do this, and this will help us, and we can do that here too." But I think though that because Israel has been trying to do this for decades to destroy Iran, and they put so much effort on the Biden administration after 10/7 to saying, hey, let's go and do this. Naftali Bennett lived on the airwaves in the United States, always talking about the head of the octopus, and we need to go after him, and we can't just mess around here. And there was lots of complaints about Biden being, you know, he was all pro Israel, but that he wouldn't go far enough, and et cetera. And then when Trump came in, I think they took an opportunity for that. So I think that the more likely evidence, and I can't rule anything out because it could be exactly what you were suggesting there, but I think the more likely is that, no, this is just the ramifications of what Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu in particular have been trying to get done for decades, and this obsession, this myopic obsession with the destruction of Iran above everything else, in some fantasy that it's going to result in something good for Israel. I think it's going to eventually be the death of Israel, but I think that that's more likely what it is. Haven't heard any other from some of our guests.
It makes sense as well what you're saying, because multiple reports that Trump expected, or the U.S. expected, this war to last 4 days. That was the initial plan. They expected something similar to the 12-day war, just on a bigger scale. And yet here we are now talking about a multi-week war. You know, Colonel, we've chatted multiple times, and you've always been very pragmatic. There's one thing I posted about, and I'm reconsidering, but I said a war with Iran is not World War III. But I also remember back in after October 7th, when I would, you know, interview guests, we do these spaces, and people, you know, I would say, actually, like, there's not going to be a war with Iran. You know, when someone asked me, what would that look like? I'd be like, no. This is the definition of World War III, a war in Ukraine, a war with Iran, two major militaries or major countries, big countries involved. But here we are, the U.S. and Israel and the Gulf, it's a regional war. You can't not say it's a regional war anymore, have been dragged into this. The war in Ukraine is not slowing down. If anything, Russia's economic boom from this will probably embolden it. Some people are saying China is perfectly positioned right now to make a move on Taiwan. Let's just pray it's not going to be the case. Are you worried, Colonel? Is it fair to be worried now about this becoming what many of us don't even want to talk about, and that is a potential third world war?
It is, because of, I think, a dearth of rational thought and dare I say, sanity. Because the we'll look first of it at the Russia-Ukraine war. Should never have happened. I mean, you can go all the way back to 2014, then you can go back to the Minsk agreements, you can go to the last opportunity for a negotiated settlement in December 2021 that the Russians were offering, that by the terms that are available now would have been a godsend. They would love to be able to have terms like that with having avoided war. We rejected that. We rejected the Istanbul in April 2022. We rejected any kind of sane end after the utter disastrous military failure of the 2023 Ukrainian offensive. We rejected the 2014 2024 offer by Putin again. And then now then here, when Russia continues to go on, the Ukrainian military continues to shrink. All you have from the whole elite Western group, to include the United States, but all the Western leaders especially, they're just myopically, nope, we're just going to keep going on. We're going to support Ukraine for as long as it takes. If we have to borrow billions of dollars to do that and put more pressure on our economy, we're going to do that. We're going to build up and all this. So all you're leaving on the ground, there is no possibility for a negotiated settlement. The only thing we allow the Russians to do is have a military victory or collapse. But as you've observed, they're not collapsing. They're not going to collapse because they have systematically fixed a lot of the weaknesses that they had, and there's no rational plan to do that. But we're going down a path that forces them to only seek the military outcome. Now here in this issue in the Middle East, you have, there should never have been a war between Iran, because Iran didn't pose a threat to anyone, not an offensive threat. So you didn't need to do that to be safe. Israel didn't do that to be safe. But then Israel also didn't need to just systematically start wiping out the Gaza Strip and put them on themselves on a path to where they have destroyed the ability for that people group to even have a life. And they're trying to force them out. They're trying to get us to enable them to force them out. They're trying to get people out of the West Bank. That doesn't get as much press here in the United States, but it certainly does over there. And then now all of this stuff here, and you know, they're trying to destroy Hezbollah, trying to destroy everything, is trying to destroy from the Israeli side. They don't want negotiated settlement with anybody. We are the king of the terrible negotiations. Steve Witkoff was just lying through his teeth when he said that there was no negotiated settlement. The vice president, the United States president, everybody keeps saying, we've tried negotiations, we did all this stuff, and yet you have the Iranians who are begging you to have a negotiated settlement. They put it, like you said a second ago, on a golden platter the day before this war started, and if you actually wanted to avoid war, it was right there. You could have had a big political win, a big diplomatic win for President Trump, but he just cannot think in any terms besides military. So the big answer to your question is, yeah, I am worried. There shouldn't be a third world war. Even this shouldn't translate it because nobody else wants it. But when the only way you can think is to kill people you don't like, Lindsey Graham loves to talk about killing everybody. Secretary of Defense Hegseth, or Secretary of War, he loves to talk about killing people. That's just the blood and guts mentality of it. And, you know, there's plenty of folks in Israel that do the same. I mean, if we keep pressing on these issues and we have all these leaders, these so-called elite in Europe that seem to be on board with that too, we're going to just stumble into one eventually, because enough people see, like Iran is a great example. And this is why I'm worried. They were not a threat to anybody outside their borders, and they were doing everything to defend themselves. And they had been picked on for a long time, but they always were careful and calibrated in their response so as not to get a war. But you finally pushed them too far. And now then I think that we're just days into this, so it's still not guaranteed, but evidence suggests that they finally said, that's it. Now we're all in here, and we're not going to keep fighting now like you do. If we get other people in that same category, it would not be that hard from here to get to a global conflict. And, you know, and like you, I pray there doesn't need to be a war in the Taiwan Strait here. And if anything, Taiwan needs to learn the lesson here that don't count on the United States to come in and save you, because all they're going to do is get you blown up and destroyed. So hopefully they won't do anything to prompt it in China either. And China definitely doesn't want to. So hopefully it doesn't go down there. But if it does, you know, we're going to find out pretty quick how the empire of the United States falls because of its own overreach, and then starting wars that we should never get into.